Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later in the hour, we talk with Joseph Deitch, who hopes to inspire everyone to achieve his or her personal best. He's written a book titled Elevate, An Essential Guide to Life. But first, migraine. According to the Migraine Research Foundation, more than 39 million Americans are affected by migraines, but most people don't realize how serious and incapacitating a migraine can be. Filmmaker Susanna Styron does. Her daughter Emma experienced her first migraine at age 14. Helping Emma struggle with the condition spurred Susanna to explore migraine more fully, and ultimately she decided to make a film about the disease. Her documentary is titled Out of My Head and will be screened at the Martha's Vineyard Film Society tomorrow evening. Susanna Styron, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And as I said, this is a real eye-opener, I think. So misunderstood. So let's start with Emma's first experience with a migraine. Tell us about that.
Well, she was 14 years old, and she came to me, and she told me she couldn't see. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I can only see out of the sides of my eyes. I can't see anything in front of me. So obviously I was very scared, and I tried to stay calm, and then it passed. So I thought, it's just one of those things that happens. A month later it happened again, and she was dizzy and sick to her stomach. And then I kind of freaked out, and I called the ophthalmologist. And I told him what was happening, and he said, sounds like maybe she's having a migraine. And I said, what are you talking about? She doesn't have a headache. And he said, just trust me, bring her in tomorrow. And he examined her, and he said, I'm sure this is migraine, and he sent us to a neurologist. And that was the first time I knew that migraine wasn't just a headache, or in fact wasn't a headache at all. She didn't have head pain yet at that point.
Yeah. And that is, I think, what everybody thinks. You think migraine, you think it's a really bad headache. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. What are some of the other symptoms people experience with migraine?
Well, some people experience migraine with aura. A lot of people do, which is can be any kind of sensory disruption. It can be visual, where people see, sparkling lights or spots in front of their eyes, or in Emma's case, partial blindness. It can be, it can be tingling in your limbs. It can be auditory hallucinations. It can be aphasia, which is the inability to process language or the inability to understand language. I mean, they're all in a severe form called hemiplegic migraine. It can mimic stroke symptoms. So there are all sorts of, and in children, it can show up as a stomach pain, abdominal migraine, severe stomach pain with no other symptoms.
Yeah. No headache. Yeah, nope. You're saying. So you mentioned aphasia, losing the ability to express or understand speech, and that's commonly associated with brain damage. But as you mentioned, it's a symptom of migraine for some people. And we're going to have a clip here. This is from 2011 when a reporter on live TV exhibited aphasia from a migraine. Let's give a listen and see what it sounded like.
Well, a very, very heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace those for the bit. They had the pit.
Now, watching that, immediately you're thinking, oh my gosh, she's having a stroke. And that's what some people thought. But in fact, it was migraine.
It was migraine. She thought she was having a stroke. I mean, you can see the fear in her eyes. There's this moment. I wish I could have done a freeze frame. I actually tried to, but it didn't really work for the film. But it was terrifying for her. Yeah. And then it was diagnosed as migraine.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I guess that happening on TV, as terrible as that may seem, it really opened the eyes up for conversations for people to understand a little bit more about what goes on with migraine. Because when a person loses the ability to speak, or you can't see, or you're throwing up, he or she can't go to work, can't parent, can't attend family functions or participate in activities that give them joy. So there's a huge emotional toll on people with migraine. So talk about the impact of chronic pain for people with migraine.
Well, I mean, the thing about chronic pain is that it's invisible and people walk around with it, but nobody else knows what it's like for them. And that's very isolating. And it's very depressing. And it's also hard, I mean, because it can take a while for your loved ones even to understand what you're going through. It can create a very complicated family dynamic, too. I mean, I know it took me a long time to really get how sick Emma was, mm-hmm. and that she wasn't being a drama queen, and because I couldn't see anything wrong with her.
Right, because when someone's having a migraine, there's nothing visibly, you don't really see anything visibly wrong with them. So it is, it's hard to understand the depth of their pain. And this has really caused migraine to be stigmatized and dismissed, even by the medical profession. I was surprised how few experts there really are in the country on migraine. So talk about how the stigma impacts access to care and treatment.
Well, it's kind of self-perpetuating because, you know, when something's stigmatized, you don't talk about it. And if you don't talk about it, the stigma remains and gets reinforced, which is one of the reasons we wanted to make this film, was to like start talking about it and break through that. I think it's hard to know why it's stigmatized. We talk in the film about the fact that 75% of migraine sufferers are women, and that when something is seen as a women's disease, it can easily be stigmatized, that women's pain tends to be trivialized. Mm-hmm. And so for men in particular, it's very, very hard to admit they have migraine or anything that's associated with a quote-unquote women's disease. And so if people aren't talking about it and aren't you know, getting treatment, then, you know, more treatments are not developed, right. And it all kind of goes underground.
And I thought it was interesting in the film where you had a pediatrician who, I think it was a pediatrician, who was saying that they didn't ask the kids anymore, did your mom, because this is something you can pass on, did your mom have bad headaches? Instead, they say, did your mom ever go into a dark room and turn off the lights?
Yes, that was my daughter Emma's neurologist who asked her that, because she'd learned that if she asked her patients, did your mother have migraines, they'd go, I don't think so.
No, yeah.
But then if she'd say, did your mother ever go into a dark room and close the door and turn off all the lights, they'd go, oh yeah, but I never knew why. Mm-hmm. And that's how she could tell that that's where it came from.
I also thought it was interesting too. You had somebody, a guy in the film who, you know, he missed work because of a migraine. And then next day his coworkers saying, you know, what are you doing? Why didn't you go? And he trying to explain, you don't understand. I would be of no help to anybody here if I came to work with a migraine. And that sort of lack of understanding we have of how debilitating this can be and how frequent it happens to some people. And the one guy who said, oh yeah, my wife gets migraines, but it's amazing how quickly she gets over it when there's a 50% off sale at Saks. What?
That guy was unbelievable. That was a kind of a vox pop on the street interview with people outside of
what they think
outside of Miami Heat game, because Dwayne Wade gets migraines and he's been sidelined a lot because of them. So we were asking people about that.
Yeah. So you interviewed a number of people in the medical profession who are treating and researching migraine. What do we know about the causes and what treatment options are available?
I mean, there's very little known about causes. The thing about migraine is it's completely individualized. So it's really quite different in everyone. And that's one reason it's so hard to treat. It's very underfunded in terms of research, so not enough research has been done. People are searching for causes, people are searching for cures, people are searching for more treatments. There are treatment options. We're very careful in the film not to be prescriptive, because this is not a medical film. It's not a how-to. It's not like, what can you do about your migraines? It's more about kind of the human condition,
right.
And these personal stories and what it's like to live with and its history and the weird things about it.
Although I think it does point out that, you know, you want to be careful about your options and you want to try to get somebody who knows something about migraines, because I think your daughter's first visit, what the doctor said, I have two options for you. I have a pill that can make you fat and bald, or a pill that can make you skinny and stupid. Well, which skinny and stupid, right?
Right,
and it really did.
Yeah.
And we put her in a fog and she was in college at the time. And
I mean, there are only 500 plus certified headache specialists in the country. And with 39 million, you know, migraine sufferers, you do the math. But I mean, there are other doctors who can treat it, and some who do. But there are, most doctors are not trained to recognize it and to treat it. It is important to get help, and it is important to know that there's no magic bullet, and probably the treatment is going to take some trying of different things, and some things that work for some people won't work for you. Right. So it's a process.
Yeah. The film points out that there is not enough research, as you just mentioned, into treatment and cure for migraine. Why do you think migraine has garnered so little attention in the field of medicine? I mean, there's a group that go to Washington every year to try to get congresswomen to, you know, put some more money into this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we were talking about before, I think the fact that it's seen as a women's disease is part of it. I think the fact that it's not seen as life-threatening is part of it. I mean, there have been people who have taken their own lives because they can't bear to live with migraine. I mean, that's how severe it can get for some people. It's life destroying, certainly. I mean, there are people who can't get out of bed. But if people don't talk about it, and if it stays kind of in the shadows, then it becomes less pressing. It's not as kind of sexy for funding and for, you know, pharmaceutical companies to develop. So, you know, I don't have the answer to that. Right. I don't think anybody does. But it is a curious fact about it that it's so pervasive, but so undertreated and underfunded.
Right. And I think, too, when you see the film and you see the, you know, how, as I was saying, how, all of the different things beyond headache that happened, and how family members have to cope with that. And, you know, the difficulties, you know, well, you know, mom can't get out of bed. We can't go to this or that, or, you know, like, and being afraid because, you know, so many things can be, triggers are different for everyone. So it could be what, food, it could be sleep or lack of, there's so many different things that you have this fear of triggering with everything you're going to do. And that creates a lot of anxiety, which in itself is a trigger.
Yes. And which can create more pain. And, you know, sheer unpredictability of it is something that creates so much anxiety and fear in people who have it. But because you never know when it's going to strike, you don't know. I mean, even if you know what your triggers are, you can't always control them. Emma talks about her food triggers, but you can't control stress. You can't control the weather. You can't sometimes control your sleep. But it also plays on family members. I mean, I know what it was like for me never knowing when we made a commitment to do something as a family if we'd actually be able to do it. And we've had a lot, we have caregivers in the film who talk about that. And we've had a lot of caregivers, family members of people with migraine who have been so grateful to see the film too and have benefited from it too, because not to compare our experience with the suffering of the people who are actually sick, but it's hard to take care of somebody who is chronically ill, and you know, you don't want to make it about yourself, but it was.
But it takes a toll.
Yeah,
yeah. We are talking with Susanna Styron about her new documentary, Out of My Head. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Susanna Styron about her new documentary film, Out of My Head. In the film, Emma, you share Emma's story about her migraine, but you also include, as I mentioned, stories of several other people and their families. So how did you find the people for the film, and what factors did you use to see who you would include?
Well, Emma was the first interview we did, and then we interviewed Joan Didion next. We were very, very lucky to be able to interview her and have her read from her work on camera. And then we interviewed two other people, and they were great and eloquent, and we realized at that point that we had a film that could be made from this. But they were also all well-educated, articulate white women. They were all different ages, but they were all, you know, that. And so we knew that we had to diversify, you know, racially, economically, but also the diversity of migraine itself and the very different experiences it can be. So we started, the film took 8 years to make.
Wow.
So
wow.
A lot of that was raising money, but some of it was also finding the right people to focus on. The Lineberry family We, the African American family, we met at Headache on the Hill because they were lobbying Congressman John Lewis. They were from Georgia, and they were doing a lobbying effort in his office. And we were lucky enough that Congressman Lewis allowed us to film the session. And then they were so smart
Lovely,
and interesting
yeah.
and articulate and such an amazing couple, and you know, making such a partnership of this, even though only one of them had migraine, that we knew they were a great story. So we followed them. The Jernigan family with the military veteran and the whole family having migraine. I do writing workshops with the something called the Writers Guild Initiative, and we work with veterans communities and the caregivers of wounded veterans. And I was doing a workshop one weekend, and I was talking about the film I was making. And about five women in this group of maybe 50 came up to me afterwards and told me their migraine stories. And one of them was Billie Jernigan. And she was so well-informed, and she was so articulate, and they had such an fascinating story, and it was so overwhelming for them.
Yeah.
And she had a military veteran, and migraine is a huge issue for people in combat because of traumatic brain injury. So it's a veteran's issue as well. So we were able to bring that in with their family.
Yeah. Now, you made this documentary about a medical condition without overwhelming us with statistics and medical terms. So what were some of the challenges of making the film about migraine that would make it compelling, that, you know, without doing all of that?
Right. Well, it actually was a gift in that way, which was kind of why we wanted to make the film. I'm not interested in just dissecting a medical condition. What made it, what elevated it and expanded it and made it more universal for me and my partner, Jackie Oakes, who made the film with me, my producer, was that it was the way it's really affected our culture. And part of that is through art and creativity and the amazing number of creative people who have suffered from migraine and have actually channeled that in some way into their work and their productivity. The most kind of entertaining and fascinating example being Lewis Carroll, who had migraine, and Alice in Wonderland. I mean, it's largely believed that Alice in Wonderland is basically a long description of a migraine, that all the things Alice goes through are basically migraine symptoms.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because in going through that part of the film where you're seeing some of the artwork and this Alice in Wonderland, something we hadn't really thought about before, because, again, you think of headache as just, I mean, migraine is just this bad headache. And then when you see all of the different symptoms and things that can happen, and then you look at this art or read, you say, oh, this is what's happening here.
Yeah.
It was real. That part I thought was very fascinating.
And Hildegard von Bingen is another one. I mean, migraine and spirituality. And she wrote, you know, she did this incredible art and wrote this incredible music. And it was actually Oliver Sacks who went through all of her work and all of her writing and all of her history. And he kind of gave her a diagnosis of migraine, and that's where that was coming
from. So tell us more about the animator and your vision for using animation to help tell the story.
So originally, this was an objective documentary. My daughter Emma was in it, but she was just another person in it. And at a certain point in the editing process, which turned out to be the real turning point, I realized that I had to admit that I was her mother and also the director of the film. So that changed everything. And it meant that I needed to be in the film. My voice needed to be in the film. And I didn't want to be on camera. And I didn't want to go back and redo things. So we decided that I could be in the film as an animated character. And that Emma's and my story, Emma's on camera herself telling her own story. But when I come in and talk about our journey together, trying to get her help, she becomes animated and I come in as an animated character. So we come back to us repeatedly in our story through this beautiful animation.
It is beautiful.
By this wonderful young animator in New York named Maya Edelman, who we were very lucky to discover through a colleague of the producer, Jackie's.
So what is it that you hope viewers take away from the film?
I hope that people who have migraine and are viewers will, and I know this happens from screenings we've had, will feel less alone, will feel more understood. I hope that people who don't have migraine will be more understanding of the people around them. I hope people will be kind of surprised and entertained, which they are when they see it. I mean, it's a hard sell because it's about migraine, but it's really about so much more.
Yeah.
It's about how we live with pain and how we live with each other and the thing, you know, what we don't know about what's going on with other people.
Certainly gives you more sympathy when the coworker comes in and says, I was out with a migraine yesterday or last week, you know, depending.
Yeah.
And going back to that history a second, you include history of migraine in the film. And the references to migraine in art and verse, going back a long time, were you yourself surprised at that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, I thought that was very surprising.
Yes, yes. It's in very ancient art.
Migraine's been around for a long time.
It's been around, yeah, since the beginning. I mean, I was surprised by everything everybody else is surprised by when they see the film as we were researching it.
How is Emma doing now?
Emma's doing very well. She's managing her migraines. She does it's interesting because one of the things that really blows people's minds in the film is the gut-brain connection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a whole section on that, how we have a nervous system in the gut as well as in the brain, and that they communicate with each other. And a lot of migraine is associated with digestive problems, including potentially irritable bowel syndrome or IBS. And Emma has her headaches are under control. She gets them occasionally. They're a lot milder. She gets weird feelings in her face. But she also has IBS, which she talks about openly. And we feel that that is the current manifestation of her migraine. And because migraines are often the disease is ever changing in people, and that's where she is now.
You have a long history on the vineyard. Your parents started summering there in 1962, and your first film you made in 1976 about young people surviving the off season on the vineyard. Much has changed since 1976. Wondering if you ever think about how your film would be different if you shot it today.
Well, there wouldn't really be a film for me to shoot today. I mean, it's so sort of evenly populated now with people of all ages who have come there. And it's a different culture. I mean, it was sort of the counter culture then. And it was people of my generation who were in their 20s then who were seeking, as so many of us were at the time, who were seeking a better way of living and finding it or not finding it there, but seeking it there. So it's the island has changed so much. I mean, there were no movies in the winter. There were no restaurants open. The Black Dog was it. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much more isolated and so different.
So are you working on another project now?
I am. I'm starting a new documentary about a Florida feminist named Roxy Bolton. She died last year at the age of 90, but she's a real unsung hero. And among her many accomplishments, she created the first rape treatment center in the country. But she's also the reason that in 1979, the National Weather Service started naming hurricanes after men as well as women. They used to all be named after women until 1979. And she said women resent being associated with disaster. And it took her 10 years, but she got them to start naming them after men.
And the film is being received well, your current film.
Fantastically. Yeah. We just won the Best International Documentary Award at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival in Australia. We premiered it at the Museum of Modern Art in New York to a sold-out audience and a week-long run at the museum.
That's great.
And we just get wonderful feedback and wonderful audiences. It's been an amazing experience.
Well, I sure found it an eye-opener. Really open your eyes to not only what happens to folks with and the varying things, you know, that they suffer with, but how many people that and how many people don't really talk about it. And, you know, it really is. Hopefully it'll create some conversations and maybe some money for research.
That's the idea.
And you are bringing the film to Martha's Vineyard, a film society tomorrow evening, August 8th. We'll have a link with more information about Susanna Styron's documentary Out of My Head and the screening tomorrow evening at our website, capeandislands.org. Susanna, thanks so much for joining us and thanks for doing the film.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up after break, strategies to achieve your personal best. We talk with Joe Deitch about his book, Elevate.